My name is Dale Thornburg, and the session is going to be on global, local, environmental problems. Whose problems? Ours, theirs, or God's? Well, first, let me introduce myself. I'm a professor of forestry and environmental science at Humboldt State University in California. And I have a half-time teaching position and half-time research. So I am primarily a research scientist. I'm not a teacher. And I get evaluated at my university for my research, not for my teaching. So I deal with facts rather than, say, causes or something like that, or philosophy. Now, I've been at Holden for 14 months gathering data, facts, on environmental problems. In fact, yesterday morning I was up gathering facts on the side of Cloudy Peak in the rain. It wasn't very much fun, but I was there. So they asked me, Holden, to lead several sessions on environmental problems. So I thought I'd just start out by listing what are our global environmental problems. I'll ask you. So I'll list them here.
Global warming.
Okay, global warming.
Yeah, acid rain.
Yeah, acid rain.
Acid rain.
Acid rain, yeah.
Every form of pollution.
Overpopulation, too. I love it.
Well, that's a cause, not a problem. Or not an environmental problem. So, so you have pollution. What kind of pollution do we have?
Are you talking chemical pollution, waste pollution, ocean pollution,
toxic
pollution,
chemicals,
noise pollution?
Yeah. Now, where do we have toxic chemicals at? We have them in the air, water. What else?
Soil.
Soil.
Food rain. Chain.
Soil. Food. What was some of the other ones now?
We have noise pollution there, but I guess that's not global. That's more local.
Okay, noise pollution. Other problem we haven't listed. Got ocean pollution, right? Well, ocean.
Yeah.
Okay. Other problem.
Does that pollution include like garbage?
Yeah.
Okay, you got garbage. Waste.
Waste.
We got solid waste. Nuclear waste. Well, put that in talk.
Ozone depletion.
Ozone, loss of ozone. What else do we have?
Depletion of species.
Loss of species. Both plants and animals.
Destruction of rainforests.
Okay, loss of forest.
Habitat in general.
What was that?
I say habitat in general. Loss of habitat. Okay.
Loss of habitat. Anything else we got?
I heard about medical waste the other day. Suppose it's already one of those there.
Toxic. Medical, toxic. Okay. Other problems?
No, you scratch population, but as a cause, right? Yeah, population is still a problem.
Overpopulation. Well, that's probably basically the cause of all these all these factors here. Let me check my list. See if I am. Well, What about electromagnetic pollution? Is that a problem? Is that an environmental problem?
Might be. We don't know all about it.
Yeah, it is with the power lines in certain residences.
If you live under a power line, what happens to you? I mean, we live in a magnetic field, don't we?
Yeah, but not very many people live under power lines.
Right. Now, how do our bodies, how does our nerve system work?
Electrical impulses.
Yeah, it's electrical impulses. So I've heard or read articles about if you sleep with a clock radio by your head, it follows up your electrical system. The effect of it, I don't know. Nobody knows yet. So, radon, is that a problem?
Yeah.
I guess. Well,
you could say natural and man-made nuclear.
I was going to put down a nuclear war, but is that a problem? All nuclear war.
Or just nuclear radiation. Or radiation.
Yeah, radiation. Then probably our loss of our non-renewable resources, like oil, coal, minerals, stuff like that, will eventually be a problem. So that kind of covers that. Now, I just wanted to ask you, that's these general problems. Which problems affect you? You're aware of. Of all these problems, what's the major problem that will affect you?
Congestion probably the most.
What?
Congestion in terms of course, too much population, however you want to put it. Congestion.
I mean, there's too many people.
Well, that's one way to put it.
It interferes with your
traffic,
space.
Et
well, somebody else, say, what problems will affect you now or in the near future? Probability.
Probably the most immediate, I agree with this gentleman. We talk about toxic chemicals, and those are more immediate. They're also long term, but I think those are more immediate than
water pollution.
Toxic chemicals, water,
food chain.
Air.
Yeah, and food.
And all of them, in some degree, will affect, they might directly affect us, will affect someone near us, and thereby affect us.
Right, say family or friends or neighbors and so forth.
Or cause health insurance rates to go up and we all pay those.
Which ones are going to affect the future more from your view?
Loss of forest. Loss of forest because no oxygen, no life.
Loss of forest.
The warming issue.
Warming.
And global.
Ozone.
Are these all solvable problems? Or maybe let's get more specific. Who lives in the Puget Sound area, Western Washington? Is the Puget Sound getting more polluted? Now, I'm from California, so I can't...
It's actually getting less polluted.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Well...
If you go back 20 years ago, 25 years, the city of Seattle discharged all its sewage raw
into
Puget Sound.
Yeah, I grew up in Bremerton, and as a kid in the 40s, we swam in the water, and you could see turds floating in the water. Everybody dumped their raw sewage right in the bay, where we used to swim. There was a guy here 2 months ago who talked about pollution in the Sound. He said it was getting worse in the southern Puget Sound.
Oh, Well, there are parts probably it is, but individual issues, but overall it sounds pretty good.
Okay, now the city of Seattle, they don't dump their sewage in the bay.
It's now treated first.
Yeah.
What does that really mean?
It's inadequate. The treatment is supposed to be inadequate.
Okay, now, if you live in the city of Seattle and you put herbicides on your lawn, what happens to herbicides?
It gradually drains off. And
how do they get down to the sound?
Storm drains,
water runoff, what they call non-point pollution. If you, say, clean out your toilet bowl with a toxic chemical, what happens to it when you flush a toilet in Seattle?
Right down out in the sound, majorly.
It goes right in the sound. It's not taken out right.
It depends what the chemical is.
Right.
Most of the chemicals...
Okay.
It
depends on what it is. Yeah. If you put chromium in the sewage in Seattle, what happens to it?
Well, first
heavy metals.
If you're heavy metals, you're regulated very intensely by Metro.
Right, okay. But if it gets in the sewage, what happens to it in Seattle?
It then comes out of the sludge.
Well, they take all the solids out. Now, some people in Seattle may be questioning on this. They take all the solids out, they don't really treat it, and they dump it on the forest. And then it runs back into the bay eventually.
No, they treat it.
Not chromium, though.
I know, but the chromium tends to be converted back to a more stable form. Just like the chrome that's... Who's got what pen on? Or my glasses, there's chrome in it. I'm not dead.
Okay.
Because it's in a form that's not toxic. Well, chromic acid would be toxic, but it gets converted.
Okay, and puka sound again. What about pulp mills? Are they regulated?
Yes.
How many pulp mills are there in puka sound?
Probably 20.
I was reading an article saying last week they're not regulated.
Well, they all have secondary treatment, they're all regulated.
But they all dump their waste in the bay. The dioxin ends up in the bay.
After treatment.
But the dioxin's still there, though. They don't take it out.
Okay, the dioxin is a real big issue. Yeah. The question is, at what level is it toxic? What was it?
Right.
Yeah, whose standard?
Whose standard is it? Okay, so it's a question whether the puka sound is getting cleaned up or not. Now, if you have like dioxin in the bay, it's puka sound, what'll happen to it? How does it affect you?
I don't eat seafood anymore.
What kind of seafood?
Shellfish.
Why?
Concentrate.
They concentrate. They are, they're sieve feeders. They circulate the water through them and they concentrate the dioxin. What about fish then?
Plankton.
The higher up your food chain you get, the more they concentrate the chemical. So what about if you swim in it? Does it affect you? Small amount. Well, dioxin will go through your skin, I'm told, but anyway. So anyway, I'm not sure, are we solving the problems of pollution in the Puget Sound?
I think the ones that have been identified generally have been. It's the question on the leading edge issues. Because go back 20 years ago, the pulp mills also discharged essentially raw waste. They went to primary treatment about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they're all gone to secondary. They've all gone to pretty intensive internal control of chemicals. Now the issue remains the loose pieces. Examples of the dioxin.
Right. Dioxin, yeah. Can they get rid of dioxin in their process?
That's a question I'm not...
That's a question, yeah.
I don't know.
Who lives in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Michigan? Are the Great Lakes polluted?
Yeah, they are.
Is it getting worse?
Yes.
Where's the pollution coming from?
Water inlets in the lakes.
Rivers.
Where's the chemicals coming from, though?
Dow chemical.
Okay, again, it's herbicides. How many pulp mills on Great Lakes? lots, right? Are they regulated?
Very strictly, no.
Are they? What about eating fish out of the Great Lakes, out of Lake Superior? I know you better not eat them out of Lake Erie, but what about Lake Superior?
Lake Superior is okay.
Is it?
Yeah. But Lake Michigan is not.
Okay, what do they say about eating the fish back there?
Once a week or something?
Yeah, once, not very often.
Not very often. You shouldn't eat more than, I was reading somewhere, 20 or 30 a year if you're a fisherman.
Well, not more than once a week is what they
say. Once a week. What's the main toxic chemical then?
Dioxins.
DDT and dioxin, I think it is. Where's the DDT coming from?
Not quite source right now.
Well, they banned DDT 20 years ago, though.
It's slowly decay.
Where's it coming from? In the...
Still around.
Still around. The... Well, as far as they can tell, at least in reading something, that the DDT is worldwide. And if you use it in South America, it eventually gets up to Lake Superior. Every year. Because it's in the atmosphere. Okay.
Can I make one comment on pulp mills? I'm from the Portland, Oregon area, and there's a mill that was slated to open, a brand new mill, and they were saying they were having problems because, as you say, some of the mills are regular, all the mills are supposed to be regulated, the amount of waste they can dump, but the new mill was having problems because there was a double standard. The old mills were grandfathered in with one standard. Right. The new mill has to meet in a new standard, so there's the question, what's an acceptable level of pollution? Who's to say?
Well, there's an article in the Christian Science Monitor last week that said most of the industrial waste are not regulated in the United States. That 75% of them are not regulated at all. They talked about pulp mills in there being non-regulated, so they weren't specific about it. Another question, is the water we drink here whole and toxic-free? Me drink it.
Probably not just the zinc and the copper and the pipes coming in the system. You're going to pick up some heavy metals.
Okay, it's got a few heavy metals from the pipes. It's old pipes. What about that, Jeff? It's got lead, zinc.
You wouldn't want to see those pipes.
It's got chlorine in it, right?
Right.
That they put it in it. Does it have dioxin in it?
Probably can't detect it, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's got it in it. It's probably got enough to detect, because we're in the... We're downwind from the sources of it here. Directly in the path.
You know, what this really starts getting to your comment here, you'd hate to see what's in those pipes. So what choice do we have now? What would it cost to replace all the pipes to get them all
right,
clear now?
Problem.
The answer to the question would be yes. Gets down to a matter of economics, doesn't it?
Right.
Right. Always
does. Everything,
water, everything does, yeah.
You don't have a choice.
And it gets the comment here on the pulp mills, too. You know, there's one that's new, modern, and it's not competitive with those that have been grandfathered that are still maybe not meeting the standards being addressed to new ones.
Right, okay, get back to our drinking water. Why do we put chlorine in the water at Holden?
Kill bacteria.
And Giardia.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't kill Giardia?
It's marginal Giardia.
It's marginal and Giardia.
Well, it takes a real saturation more than what you can drink.
Well, they tell you to treat your drinking water up here with iodine and chlorine, but I don't do it, but... we put the chlorine in the water to kill bacteria, which are living cells, right? Mm-hmm. What does that chlorine do to us if we drink it?
It
still kills cells, right?
But the form it's in kind of gets to you, too. You see, it changes form. Are you talking about chloramines?
No, there's a question of the change in forms. Now, there's all kinds of research done on the effect of chlorine in water, and you find volumes and volumes of it. If we kill some cells in our body, what happens to our body then? What does our body do to that?
It makes new cells.
Right? Okay, we kill the microorganisms, one cell, bacteria, and stuff like that, they can't replace themselves, but our body will replace the cells and tell what happens.
Can't.
And we call that what?
Death.
Cancer.
Death. Cancer.
But, anyway, they chlorinate all the water in the United States, right? So you have to do it. It's required by the law. Okay, is your drinking water at home safe? Do you know that?
No idea.
Not in Denver.
Oh,
what do you
mean? Does it have toxic chemicals in it?
Traces?
Definitely. Traces of it, yeah. A few years ago, we did a survey of the part of the California we live in about, is it water free of toxic chemicals? We couldn't find any water that's free of it. You buy bottled water in the stores. That's got dioxin in it. Traces of it. You buy a plastic bottled water in a store. What does it have in it? Vinyl chloride, which is toxic. Our city drinking water has got all kinds of stuff in it. So I kind of really would say that there's probably no place in the United States you can get completely toxic free drinking water. Right?
Well,
or what about you drinking water?
But you haven't asked the other question. Is water toxic?
Is the water toxic?
The difference between toxic free and water toxic.
I mean, will it hurt you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's another point. See, I keep talking about dioxin, but do we know what dioxin does to us?
None.
No. What does it do to rats?
Causes cancer.
Certain
concentrations. I think the issue is at what concentration. There's one school that says any dioxin is bad.
Right.
There's another school that says no, there is a level of dioxin that your body can deal with.
Now, why do we have that problem? I'm telling whether it affects us or not.
Short-term studies, and it's a long-term problem.
Yeah. Can we test it on humans? Well, we are. We're going to make experiments.
It may not be under simple control of concentration, that there may be genetic factors as to whether an individual is capable of metabolizing that.
Well, let me just read a report of a study. In 1988, there's a study of 900 women in the U.S. and in their breast milk fat, they all had a fairly high level of dioxin. This is comparable to studies in Canada and Europe. Now, they estimated that on the average, if infant nurses for 1 year, the child will have consumed 500 times the lifetime EPA recommended intake of dioxin. That 1 year, 700 times. Now, in Europe, some of the countries recommend you not breastfeed infants anymore. Now, no matter where you sample that, you get the same results. But again, they don't know the effect of that.
What about the cow's
milk? Is any dioxin?
Why would cow's milk be any different from the other?
It's got dioxin in it too.
Yeah. Sure. So why would it be any? I mean, there's stuff.
Well, now we concentrate it more than the cow would, though. See?
Oh, I see.
Higher in the food chain.
Higher butter fat. Well, and there's a higher butter fat.
Now, what about men? Where's the dioxin in you?
In the fat?
In
that? No. In your fat again?
Your liver.
Your liver, your kidney. Mm-hmm. So, now we still don't know what effect that has on us, but it's a big experiment. Are cancer rates going up or down? They're going up. Mm-hmm. Some of them are going down, but most of them are going up. Okay. So, now, whose problems are these? I just ran a little bit about whose problems are these? Ours or theirs or God's? I'll use that word. Now, let me extrapolate. if we do what they used to do 600 years ago, you dump all your garbage in the in your sewage in the street. Mm-hmm. Dump in the street and you pray to God, make it go away. What'll happen?
Yeah, the plague.
Yeah, the plague.
It'll go away.
Okay. So... okay, now if we drink water with toxic chemicals and you get cancer and you pray to God, what'll happen? Nothing. Okay, so it's not God's problem, right? Is that an oversimplification? Okay. Now, what about their problem? Let's rely on our government to do it. We don't worry about it. Rely on our government. Will that work?
To some degree. Dioxin is really a hot issue in EPA, probably.
Right, it is.
I mean, it is
it's
super
a bandwagon thing. I mean, dioxin
but they wouldn't
is
have done
diddly
about
it
if we had
else?
Protested in the first place.
Well, 2 weeks ago in Newsweek it says in 1970 Congress directed the EPA to crack down on 320 air pollutants. Today, 313 of them are still unregulated. Industry is churning them out in breathtaking volumes. Almost all industrial. So, Newsweek says it's not, EPA doesn't regulate them. They were supposed to, but they don't do it. On the other page it says, industry found it could delay the regulation of nearly any air pollutant simply by trying out experts to testify that its precise health effects are not known. We don't know what they do. So they don't regulate them because we can't prove that it's a problem. Let's see. Is it safe to say that most politicians are subject to political payoff?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very safe.
What happened to the people in the Department of Housing and Welfare? I've been up at Holden too long. I haven't read the news. But now, another thing our government does, question me on if I don't think I'm right, is, you know, in Plato's Republic, in that book, they come up with noble lies to help the government. Okay. Now, we develop our own noble lies again. We tell people lies to believe certain things. Now, examples with loss of forest or global warming. Like if you read our government, the news media says the main cause of global warming is the Brazilians are burning the tropical forest. Yeah, what do we do to our forest? We cut them down. We burn them. Nobody even talks about that. Why? Who did Bush appoint to, forget the position, Bush has too many timber barons or strong political supporters financially. Mm-hmm. The government won't even question that. So they develop a noble lie to fool us. Time magazine follows it. They follow that noble lie. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Nobody's questioning that, but some people also develop what I'll call other noble lies, like the Gaia principle. What's that? The Gaia principle. That the Earth will heal itself. We don't have to worry about these. It'll self-regulate, it'll heal itself. That's a noble lie to fool us. Speaking as a scientist. You read a lot about that in certain magazines. The environmentalists say, go back to nature. We can't do that. It won't work. There is no nature anymore. We fouled it up completely. We're part of nature. So that won't work. What about state governments? You rely on them to take care of, solve your problems. Anybody from California here? We passed that referendum, 2 years ago about regulating toxic chemicals? What happened to it? Duke Majan won't enforce it. He's been brought to court to enforce it. They won't enforce it. Why?
Because of lobbying.
Money. Yeah. Lobbying. He gets too much monetary support from a certain industry. Our local representative, I know him personally, is from our Lutheran Church in Arcata. We have two of them where I live. What about City of Seattle? Well, cities. They ain't better. I think probably the cities are better, right? Because they're less influenced by political payoff. At least our city of Arcata is. I think Seattle is. They're closer to the voters. They can do more things. They're more sensitive to what the people want, I think, aren't they? Mm-hmm. See how that way? They're probably... So what I'm trying to say, it's not God's problem, it's not their problem, it's our problem. It's our problem. So what can we do about it? What can you do about it? If you want to make sure that you get toxic-free water, how can you do it?
I think you get a device and a piece of equipment, if you want to put it that way, that you can put on the water line and remove.
Yeah, you can get an active carbonated filter. It'll probably filter out most things. I'm not sure if it filters out dioxin, but most things it will.
And not heavy metals, though.
Yeah, I'm not...
It'll filter through the organic, filter most organics out.
Yeah.
And like dioxin will not take out heavy metals. You'd have to distill it to take out heavy metals.
So, you can... Now, you... I just said you can't really buy bottled water. You can't rely on that. A lot of people will argue that. I mean, as far as I know, having a filter system or distilled water is still the best source to do it yourself. Right?
Do you buy distilled water in glass bottles?
Well, they ran a test on that in California. It still had dioxin in it. So, where does dioxin come from? Since we're speaking about dioxin, you know where it comes from?
Yeah.
What happens if I burn this paper? If I burn it, or a lot of it, if I burn it, what happens to it? What comes out of it? Dioxin. A lot of the dioxin in Europe comes out of waste incinerators. They burn most of their garbage there. Without realizing they build up their dioxin concentration. When they're trying to get away from that now by sorting out their garbage. So, how does the dioxin get in the paper?
It has something to do with the bleaching process, but I didn't realize that. I mean, we're burning our stuff here at Holden.
Right. So, whenever you have chlorine, hydrocarbon, and heat, you get dioxin. That's pulping process right there. Mm-hmm. Those three combinations. So, why do we buy white toilet paper? We don't need white toilet paper. It has to be bleached. It's all full of dioxin. Why can't we have brown toilet paper?
What about, you mentioned some of the things like Greenpeace, nature, natural, what is it, that conservancy, natural wildlife defense conservancy or whatever.
Nature conservancy.
Yeah, that one. Anyway, I seem to, I don't know what I did, I don't remember what I did, but I'm now on the mailing list of all of these people. So I get all of their newsletters and, you know.
Well, okay, I mean, I'm saying that this is our problem. We probably can't rely on other people to solve that problem, so...
But in banding together like that,
sure.
And, you know, trying to gain some power by getting together with other people...
Yeah, you support an organization that's fighting for certain yeah. issues. You can be selective and pick the one you want. If you like wilderness, you can support the Wilderness Society. If you want about clean water, air, who do you support then? In California, who do you support? Sierra Club or?
Yeah.
See, but it's also who you don't support. You can boycott.
Right. Right, okay.
You cannot buy enough, not give your consumerism to you.
Well, I just picked out a book here of The Causes of World Hunger in here. And this is another problem. But in this book here, it says that... the main cause of world hunger is us Christians in the developed world. That we are theologically underdeveloped and we're environmentally insensitive. We don't know what's going on in the world. We don't know what God intended. We're the cause of the problem in the world. We overconsume. We're not concerned about what happens. And... most of the people in the United States, whether they're Christians or not, what are the two main things we're striving for in our society?
Money and power.
Money and personal salvation when we die. The rest of it we don't care about in general. Is that true?
Not of all Christians.
Not of all of us. Well, holding people are...
Can I maybe reduce this down to an oversimplification in that a lot of it boils down to convenience, simply because you can go to the store still, and regardless of the solid waste problem, you can buy disposable flashlights, disposable right. cameras, and they glut our shelves, but people continue to demand those types of products.
I mean, I didn't talk about solid waste. That's still increasing, right? Mm-hmm. Solid waste is still increasing in the U.S. a lot. I mean, just what you said, it's still so convenient to buy it. So it's convenient. It's convenient to hop in your car and drive off, cause an acid rain and global warming. But now, what do they mean by we're theologically underdeveloped? We don't know what the Bible says. Now, I'm not a theologian at all. But if I can argue with what they're talking about in here, and this is written by a Christian, not by an atheist. So, that we're the cause of the problem, mainly by our overconsumption and our insensitive to problems. Now, what's President Reagan's, what was his theory about these problems? He was in office for 8 years, had the highest popular vote in centuries. So, what was President Reagan's answer to these problems?
There isn't a problem.
All right, there is no problem.
Hands off.
No government interference. Deregulate. Now, what would he say? How would problems be solved? Is there a problem? His philosophy.
It's the marketplace economy.
Right, marketplace economy. So we get in trouble. Somebody will develop a good filter, cheap filter. Make money off of it mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. If you're concerned about food, somebody will grow organic food for you. We don't have to regulate. Let the marketplace solve the problem. So,
in that case, you're always waiting for the problem to get big enough, and then for the education to get far enough.
Then it becomes a real flash issue, like the Alvar thing. You know, we get these little focuses rather than the general focus to solve the problem.
But so, on that Alar thing, I was never convinced, even when they put the signs up over my apples in my grocery store, if they really didn't have Alar. Or, how was I to know? Just because they put a green and yellow sign up.
See, but it's right. Our consumerism that has convinced growers that we want perfect red apples and nice pears. And I mean, we're not willing to buy the pears with the brown spots or the mushy right. apples.
Or
the
brown oranges.
We want, if we want to order something from Sears, we want it here in 2 days instead of in 2 weeks. We also, I mean, we have got to let our standards go because we can't have both.
Well, let me, that's a good point. Let me pursue the marketplace, like, of these problems that are we're able to really solve, like, we can probably solve the loss of the ozone because we can do that and make money. We can develop new chemicals rather than CFCs and sell them for a higher price. Companies can do that, right? Make money.
Exactly.
Hmm? Exactly. Yeah. Now, we solved the lead pollution problem from gasoline, right? Easy to do. Just make non-leaded gasoline and charge more money for it. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. But some of these other ones may not be able to do that at all. Like the problem with global warming, which I'll talk about tomorrow. Can we solve that with technology and make money off it? Can we do that? Can we solve the problem of loss of habitat through a marketplace economy? Now, if everybody's willing to buy an acre of land in Brazil for your benefit, I mean, it might work, right? I mean, they're trying to do that. They do that in Costa Rica. They say, we'll buy them and save them that way. In our society right now, I'd say the prevalent philosophy is that the marketplace or technology will solve the problems. And it's getting more that way. So your average college graduate now is that way, where 15 years ago it wasn't. That will solve these problems with technology. These problems. Right.
Some of those crops are not solvable without technology. Overpopulation. There's just no solution to that whatsoever.
It's all about an economic situation, or an economic solution to overpopulation, though, and how the economy works in both directions. Like, for example, in China, where they have a one-child policy, if you have more than one child, you lose.
Right. Well, now that works there, right?
I think in California we wouldn't have it
Well, no, okay, you're from California. Did you read that article in Newsweek about how happy people were in California? I mean, I don't read all Newsweek, so this is hearsay. They ran a poll in Southern California. Are you happy with California? What, 86% said no. They're not happy with the lifestyle in California. Where 20 years ago, everybody was happy with the lifestyle in California. Mm-hmm. But what do Californians do, though?
You live in Washington. Terrible.
Right.
They made a lot more California.
Well,
and they imported a lot more California.
Right now, what do we do about taxes in California? We always say no.
That ridiculous.
We make
Proposition 13 was very harmful to some.
We make heroes out of people that want to reduce government spending. So what happens to the environment in California? Just goes downhill. Now, if you're a doctor in Southern California, you sell your house for how much? Physician in Southern California? $500,000, you move to San Juan Island, you buy a castle. Mm-hmm. Right? You get out of there. You made your mint, you get out of there. So they don't care about the environment. They don't want to do anything about it in California. No, it's an oversimplification.
I don't understand. In my neighborhood, in California, the garbage people, who hardly charges anything really to pick up garbage, allow us to put out 14 containers a week. They don't charge you extra until you have a 15th container.
must be government subsidized either.
Well, we're kind of running out of time. Let me.
One solution that is extant to some degree, that rather limited the ground plate, is Seattle, is the establishment of the cooperative food distribution stores, because they are attempting and do, in a very limited way, control through their own customers, of course, such matters as LR and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm.
Well, right. I belong to a big food co-op in our town. It's bigger than a Safeway store. Mm-hmm. You can buy all organic food. You can't really get toxic-free water, but almost. And you can go there with your own containers and buy all the food without being packaged. Your meat, even your oils and stuff like that, if you bring your own containers. You can do that if you want, or you can still get it in the styrofoam cups if you want. But it's possible to do it. Well, time's kind of running out. What about loss of species? Somebody mentioned that. I just got a letter from my son. He got bit by a tick in California, and you get bit by a tick in California, you get Lyme's disease, which can be deadly. Well, he took the tick, and he took it into to medical public health. They said, well, there's 49 different species of ticks out there in the woods, and only one of them carries the disease. So why do we need all those species? In Northern California, why do we need 49 species of ticks that will bite you? You go out here in the woods, old growth forest, you probably find 1,600 different species of insects. Now, I go up in the meadows up here, I can find 200 different plants in a meadow. There's a guy up here in Lyman Lake studying mycorrhiza. The PhD thesis has been up there for 2 years so far, studying mycorrhiza. There's thousands of species of mycorrhiza. Why is that important? What do we care about 49 ticks in California? If we include all of California, it's probably 100 and some. I was up in the meadows last week, and I identified 9 different flies biting me. 9 different species of flies. So, why are we concerned about loss of species?
Well, you have a balance between species, flora and fauna. You have a balance that's been established over the millennia, and you start eliminating certain species, and other species start running rampant. Like the kudzu in the southeast that was introduced there. No natural enemy or predator on it, and pretty soon the south is going to be covered with kudzu.
Also, through this diversity allows stability. Well, in case one particular creature has a problem, the others kind of fill in, but the more creatures you lose, the less stability you have.
Why do we need flies, though? No, flies serve a role, right? In the ecosystem. I mean, the role is not biting us, but they serve an essential role. And you're probably right. Everything out there serves a certain role in the ecosystem. And if you upset it, then you kind of snowball it. Well, let's say if you take, Regan's philosophy, well, let's don't really worry about that, because we can control the environment. Are these species any direct benefit to us? Do we know? I mean, why are we concerned? I mean, a lot of people are concerned about the loss of plant and animal species. I mean, we're losing how many a day now, they figure? 50 a day throughout the world. Where did aspirin come from?
Willow tree.
It was first, now it's made synthetically, but it was originally taken out of willow trees. I mean, most of the chemicals, drugs we use, come out of plants or animals, initially. There are certain groups, companies that, like I teach at a forestry school, they'll say, I'd like to buy 100 pounds of Cornus spicularis. we want to run a chemical study on that, see which drugs are in there, might be useful to humans. They do that. We get students out and collect all these for them. There's people searching throughout the species. So, like there's one drug that controls the leukemia. I forget it's called, but where did it come from? Anybody know about that story? One flower in Madagascar, which is almost disappearing naturally because they're cutting their forest down too much. One flower down there, one kind of small orchid. So they've been searching the yew trees for cancer drug. I'm not sure if it's working or not, but that's what they use a lot of these species for our benefit directly.
Does that help in the environment? I mean, we use
a lot of
things for our benefit. Look what it's happened.
Right.
Is this further damaging? I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's putting just our values on it. We talk about. Habitat loss of habitat. Why are we concerned about loss of habitat? Yeah, I mean, because the species need that to live. Now, is there any place on the Earth's surface that's free from our environmental problems?
I don't think so.
We know.
There's no any what you call natural ecosystems left. We've all interfered with them. Even at the bottom of the ocean, we've interfered with them. The Arctic, Antarctic, and so forth. So we've interfered them. Again, time's almost up. I'm going to talk, I guess, about global warming and then more about toxic chemicals and cancer later on. More specific about those. So, is this too much gloom and doom?
Yeah.
I mean, I teach a class like this every quarter in my university on your impact on the environment, your individual impact, and the students call it gloom and doom. And we try not to be that way, but that's the way it comes out.
Well, is there any hope? I have heard from another person who attended environmental class who said, maybe this is naive, that if 10% of the Christians in the world became convinced that it was our problem, that you could really turn things around. Do you have any hopeful statement?
Well, I really don't have much hope for Christians. I mean, the church that we go to in our town, my wife and I headed up a social action committee for years. It just flopped. People are only into their personal salvation, so we're going to change churches when we go back. We're going to go to an active church. Presbyterian Church. Yes,
I'm Presbyterian.
Okay.
Well, leave out Christians. If you could convince 10% of, any large group.
I don't know. Probably, you probably could. Well, I mean, this class I teach is the idea that class is, don't worry about that. You do it. You do your part. Don't worry about everybody else. You just do your part. As a Christian,
I guess that's what I'd like to hear in further presentations, is what is our part, aside from the basic boycotting of things that we know are blatantly bad, What is our part?
Well, that's all. I'll talk more about global warming. It's kind of hard to define your particular part, but you should be conscious of what you do to the environment. Whatever you do, when you flush your toilet, where does it go? I mean, most people don't even know what happens when they flush their toilet, where it goes. They don't know where their water comes from. I mean, most people are not aware of that. I don't know, how many of you know when you flush your toilet, where it goes?
Down through that little hole, the bottom of the white.
Where's it going holding when you flush the toilet?
We have a septic system that while we're gone, we have guests staying at our place, and I'm worried what it's going to be like when we get back.
Because we know how to handle our septic system and our well and all that. City people don't.
Right, we didn't. I didn't get into groundwater pollution, did we? big one. It's a big one in California. Well, time's up. I'm supposed to knock off at 7:45. So, thank you for coming. And I don't know if you solved any problems.